Leave it? Okay. And it's Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful to see that there's Torah on the third floor of the OU building too. I know, I always know it's on the first and the Knesa in the first floor, but Baruch Hashem, we go, this is indeed Liela, Liela, going all the way to the top, Marlon Bakodesh, and the like. And I just wanted to share with you, I understand that the overall theme is connected to the notion of seven, and I'll be talking about some aspects of Shabbos. And those of you that daven Nusach Sfarad, I don't mean Eidot HaMizrach, but the Chassidim or have Chassidish families, know that there's a custom that before Mincha of Friday afternoon, Tehillim Kuf Zayin is recited. And what is Tehillim Kuf Zayin? Tehillim Kuf Zayin is halachically a very important kapitel. It deals with the various occasions in life when Hashem has redeemed you from a dangerous situation. And it has a refrain, Yodu L'Hashem Chasto, they will give gratitude to Hashem, V'nifloso V'nei Adam, and praising His wonders. And that is the halachic source for the obligation to bench Gomel. And indeed, the kapitel enumerates four circumstances in which we have the refrain, Yodu L'Hashem Chasto, and the Gemara says, Arba'a Tzurichim Lahodos, there are four categories of dangers which one must give gratitude to Hashem publicly. One is Hochei Midbor, those who are lost in the deserts and they are wandering. The other is Cholesh and Israpa, a person was very ill and they got better. A third is Beso Asurim, a person was imprisoned. I'm not going in order. And the fourth is, actually it's the first one mentioned, Yordei Hayam, people who are lost at sea or people who take a sea voyage and they're in turbulent waters. So again, the concept is these four categories. Again, for our purposes, the order is not important, but we have the Hochei Midbor, those who wander in the desert, those who are ill and have recovered, those who are imprisoned, and those who have been on the water, etc. In all four of these categories, we have something called Birchas HaGomel, which requires that we thank Hashem in a public way. And in Poskim, we have a very, very detailed discussion as to how this applies to other dangerous situations. You may know that in Eretz Yisrael, the Poskim almost never tell you to bench Gomel. A woman after childbirth does bench Gomel, for sure, because that is Cholesh and Israpa. She was in danger. But you'll find, for example, a typical psak of an Israeli Rav, I guess it shows you the difference in the American mentality and the Eretz Yisrael mentality. Let's say you're sitting on a bus to Hebron, and the seat in back of you is empty. No one's sitting there. And a big rock breaks the bulletproof window, and the glass shattered. So you ask a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, do I bench Gomel? He says, well, it was the row in back of you. It really wasn't close enough that you have to bench Gomel. Because in Eretz Yisrael, people are used to, unfortunately, and of course this week we've experienced firsthand the great, great tragedy of the loss of the three B'nai Torah. But in America, we bench Gomel for almost everything. I tripped on the ice and I hurt my finger, you know, bench Gomel said, okay. But be it as it may, the question is this. This is a kapitel Tehillim that talks about the four people who are in danger, that when Hashem rescues them, they must thank Hashem for His chesed. It is said that the Baal Shem Tov was misaken, that this should be recited as an introduction to Shabbos. The last davening before Kabbalah Shabbos, the last mincha before Shabbos, we begin with this kapitel. What is the connection between Mizmor Kuf Zayin and the holiness of Shabbos? And the explanation is, there's something very profound here. The Baal Shem Tov understands that these four categories of illness, danger, predicaments are not simply understood in the literal sense of people stuck in deserts, but they refer to the various spiritual imperfections and baggage and difficulties that we have in our own internal life. And Shabbos is the place of refuge. Shabbos is the spiritual hospital that can heal us of all of the defects of the soul. Let's first take the one that is lost at sea, the one that's taking a water voyage. We know that when a person drowns in water, that is often a symbol for hedonism. A person is so involved, mishuka, in the tavos of Olam Hazak. So you can't hear? Okay. Alright. We know that when a person is drowning in water, that is often a reference to a person that is mishuka in the taivas of Olam Hazak. Escapism. Jews are people of meaning. Our neshamos crave connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we look for diversions. We want to kill the pain, kill the loneliness. So we may seek refuge, a person might seek refuge in alcohol, in improper behaviors, in drugs, in workaholism. But all of that is an attempt to deaden the pain of loneliness and estrangement from God. So the person that is lost at sea is the person that is drowning in the taivas and materialism and hedonism of Olam Hazeh. That is one type of category of a lost soul. Lost at sea. The person is simply meshuka in the taivas of Olam Hazeh. And they might be so addicted that they can't pull themselves out of it. But at the same time, there's an inner misery of not being connected to their ultimate meaning and their ultimate purpose. That is one category of human being who has lost his way. Another category is a person with sickness of the soul. And this is a different type of problem. This is a person that is filled with negativity. The Rambam writes that when a person's midos are out of whack, that is called a choli hanefesh, a sickness of the soul. When a person lives with jealousy, when a person lives with arrogance, when a person lives begrudging the good of others or has anger all the time, that is a choli hanefesh. One cannot connect to the Ribono Shel Olam when there is the sickness of these midos. So the sea voyage represents the hedonist, and the sickness represents the negativity of the soul that sees only anger, bitterness, hate, arrogance. And then there's a third category, the person that is imprisoned. And symbolically, this refers to a person that is imprisoned within themselves. Unlike the person who feels negativity, which is the sickness of the soul, hate, anger, negativity, the person that is imprisoned within themselves feels nothing at all. They are like an ebon. They are like a stone. They simply don't feel. They connect. A person is not capable of loving. A person is not even capable of hating. Person just is. That is an imprisonment. The fourth category, the one who wanders in the desert, in a sense, it might be very positive. He is looking for water, looking for meaning, looking for purpose, but comes up dry, does not find it. In a sense, he might be the healthiest of all four, because that person is in a searching modality. But they haven't been directed to it. You know that 90% of English-speaking converts to Buddhism are Jews. 90%, 9 out of 10. And on one level, you know, this is very, very distressing. Buddhism, in all probability, might halachically be Avodah Zarah, without getting, although that's a more complicated question than you might assume, but it's certainly not Judaism. It's certainly a rejection of Torah and mitzvahs. But the good news is that people who turn to Buddhism are people who are seeking spirituality. They're looking for God. They think that the Judaism they have been exposed to, if they have been exposed to Judaism at all, is materialistic and non-spiritual. So they're wandering in the desert. They're looking and looking and looking and looking for something. which in a sense is a good sign, but they're not finding it. So these four categories of people are four damaged souls. The hedonist, the one that is filled with anger, negativity, and hate. The one that is emotionally shut down. And the seeker, who is looking and looking and looking, but has been unable to find. It was the Baal Shem Tov's insight that when the Kapitel goes on and says Hashem rescues them from their predicament, it could be understood that through Shabbos Kodesh, the holiness of Shabbos, we become rescued and redeemed. Shabbos is a spiritual hospital. It reminds the hedonist that there's more to life than material pleasures. It gives a balm to the negativity of hate and anger to remind a person that there is a world of love and caring. For the person who is unfeeling, Shabbos gives him the capacity to understand that Hashem loves him and he's capable of loving Hashem. And of course, on the most basic level, the searcher has found what he was looking for. If one experiences Shabbos on that greatest level. So when you read that Tehillim and you think about how the Baal Shem Tov understood on a deeper level that capital, one can see the wondrous healing of Shabbos. The Refuas HaNefesh, you know, when we pray for a Chola, we always say Refuas HaNefesh or Refuas HaGuf. It is not only the body that needs to be healed, but it is the soul that needs to be healed. And sometimes the soul needs to be healed, not only when there's a physical sickness, but even without a physical sickness. The soul needs to be healed. And Shabbos is indeed that refuah of the nefesh. This connection, the Nesivas Shalom brings a fascinating medrash. The Nesivas Shalom brings that when Kayan had killed Hevel, and all of this was Erev Shabbos, they were expelled. Adam and Chava were already expelled from Gan Eden. Shabbos hasn't happened yet. Adam Arishain meets Kayan, who had just killed his brother Hevel. And Adam Arishain asks Kayan, have you made peace with your creator? What has Hashem done to you? And Kayan answered with a strange expression. Kayan says, Asisi tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nispasharti, and I made a deal, I made a compromise with the Almighty. A very strange expression. Kayan doesn't say Hashem forgave me. Hashem doesn't say nislachti. He says nispasharti. It's like a plea bargain. I don't know what the modern Hebrew word for a plea bargain in a court system is, but it's a pshara, a compromise. What is it? Okay, but again, we've got Sharon, compromise. So, Adam Arishon then says, there is such a thing as tshuva? So Kayan was the one who taught Adam Arishon the koach of tshuva? I didn't know there was such a thing as tshuva. Miyat patach mizmor shir liyom ha-shabbos, because the sun is going down at this point. Adam Arishon began with the song Tehillim Tzadik Beis, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Tov Lahodos Hashem, which the Medrash interprets, not it is good to give gratitude to Hashem, which is the normal translation, but Tov Lahodos, it's good to confess your sins to Hashem and do tshuva. So you see many fascinating things from the Medrash. You see, first of all, that Kayan taught the power of tshuva to Adam Arishon. You also see that Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos was composed by Adam Arishon, not David HaMelech, Adam Arishon, in recognition of the gift of tshuva. But it's a little peculiar. What does it have to do with Shabbos? A song about Shabbos. If you look, in fact, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, it's actually a little difficult to figure out exactly what about Shabbos is in this psalm. The psalm talks a lot about why do righteous people suffer? Bifroach Rishayim Kamalesev. So it talks about the issue of Tzadik Feralo, Rasha Vitovlo. But the connection to Shabbat, it talks about Tshuva according to the Medrash, Tov Lahodos Lashem, which is understood about Tshuva, but the connection to Shabbos is not immediate. So the Nesiv HaShalom has a long arichus where he basically says the following thoughts. Let's look at Kayan's dialogue with the Almighty before he meets Adam Arishon. Kayan, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, where kol demei achicha, the blood, or the voice of the blood of your brother, tzolakim elai, is screaming to me from the very ground. After Kayan uttered the immortal words of abdication of responsibility, Hashom Erochi Enochi, what are you bothering me? Kayan then turns to Hashem, and he says, Gadol Avoni Minso, my sin is greater than I can bear. Again, you have to picture this. When you read words of Chumash, have a mental picture of a heavy stone, a burden, my Avera is crushing me. I can't bear it. For Hayisi Navinad Vioretz, I will be a wanderer in the earth. For Hayakal Motsa Yargeni, everybody who finds me will kill me. Simple pshat is he's simply saying, I'll never be able to settle down, I'm going to wander, people are going to look at me as a murderer, and my life is in danger. The Nesiv HaShalom gives a different twist. When Kayan says, my sin is greater than I can bear, he is referring to being estranged from Hashem. My sin has separated me from you. I am no longer connected to you. All I have is Oretz, Chumrius, Gashmius. I'm going to wander from one thing to another thing, like people from one diversion to another diversion, because the pain of separation is so great. I want to kill my pain with whatever it would be. This is his cry to Hashem. How can you leave me? How can you condemn me to be a wanderer in the physicality of the world with no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then when he says, everyone that finds me will kill me, it's understood this way. Every encounter with the Gashmius of the world is going to kill me by slow degrees. Experience by experience by experience. I'm going to become deadened. Going to become coarsened. My life is simply going to dribble away in meaningless encounters of experience. This is his cry. So the pasuk goes on. Hashem responded to Kayan, and Hashem gave Kayan an oath, a sign, levilti hakos, that no one should strike him. This is the source of the English expression, the mark of Cain. According to one medrash, he gave Kayan a watchdog to protect him, etc. But the Nesiv HaShalom wants to say, and this is a tremendous chiddush, that when Kayan is saying, a life without God will destroy me, Hashem gives Kayan the gift of Shabbos. Shabbos is called an os in the Torah. O-C, B'ni Yavei B'nei Yisrael. So Hashem tells Kayan, it may very well be that for 6 days of the week, you will be separated from Hashem. It may very well be that for 6 days, you will be a na v'nad ba'aretz. But I'll give you something. I'll give you an oath. I'll give you Shabbos. Now this is truly amazing, because it actually says that Shabbos was given to Kayan as a result of Hashem accepting his tshuva. Kayan then communicated, and this explains the language, I did tshuva, v'nispasharti, I got a compromise. See how beautiful it is? His argument is, I'm separated from God, there is no purpose in my life. God's answer is, you won't get everything you want, but you will get something that you want. The Peshara is, I'll give you Shabbos. Adam HaRishon then says,
I didn't know Tshuva could do such a thing. Thank you, Hashem, for Shabbos. Because it is good to do Tshuva. Tov lo does Hashem. Very, very amazing. And this is what it is. And Baruch Hashem, those of us who are Zocha, to live in Eretz Yisrael, many of you, I gather, probably live in Yerushalayim, but all of Eretz Yisrael is holy. In a sense, we're zocher to see Kedusha, to feel Kedusha, to be margish hashgacha pratis every single day. But we're still not at the level of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Yom Shekulo Shabbos is a description that pertains only to Yavot HaMashiach. It does not pertain to us. So to a greater or lesser degree, during the 6 days of Masa, we are still nav and nav biyaretz. We wander to the earth. The gashmias, materialism, the hedonism, the decadence of culture, the dangers that we face to our, even our physical security, as Rahman al-Islam we all experienced in this past week. But come Shabbos, that's the pshara. That is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are with me. You are reunited with me. You are reconnected to me. And that will give you the koach to endure whatever the week brings. That is why, at the end of Hav Shabbos, when we recite Havdalah, the first pasuk, at least among Ashkenazim, that we recite when we say Havdalah, pasuk, Hine Kael Yeshuasi. Hashem is the God of my salvation. Eftach, I have trusted him. Below Efchad, I am not afraid. One of the beautiful zemiros of Malav Malka is a refrain based on another pasuk. Al Tira Abdi Yaakov. Do not be afraid, my servant Yaakov. What is all this stuff about being afraid? What am I afraid of exactly? The answer is, I'm afraid because when I leave Shabbos and I leave that connection with Hashem, I don't know what will happen to me. It's not just being afraid of external threats. What will happen to me? Will I become a materialistic person? Will I become meshukeh in olam hazeh? I'm leaving Hashem. What will happen to me? I will be a nav and not be oretz. But the Yid says at the end of Shabbos, if I've taken in the meaning of Shabbos, If I've allowed it to influence me, I've taken it with me. Part of the neshama yaseira, even though the ikir it leaves, but some of it stays. There's a roshan that stays. I can now look at the week and say, lo efchad, I'm not afraid. Hashem has given me something that I can take within me. And that is why indeed we say that spiritually, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, after Shabbos, still has the holiness of the Shabbos that departs. That even applies to a halacha. If you didn't say Havdalah, you know you can say Havdalah with a bracha. Not the blessing on Eish, so don't do that. Shabbos women make that blessing anyway. But the Havdalah on the wine. You say Berei B'Samim, you can always say it, of course. But Berei B'Yagavan, Hamadol Be'Kodesh L'Chol. You can say it on Sunday, you can say it on Monday, and you can say it on Tuesday, till sunset of Tuesday. What happens Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? We already get an advance on the holiness of the new Shabbos. And that's the Lo Evchad, that if we internalize the Kedushah Shabbos, we don't have to be afraid. We can face the Nav and Nav Biaretz, because even in our Gashmias there is Avodas Hashem. Even in our Malacha there can be Avodas Hashem. But without the Shabbos, we wouldn't have that understanding. We would not have that perspective. And that is the Lo Evchad. That is, I'm not afraid. I will not be a Nav and not be Oretz. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says an amazing thing, actually. He actually says that, you know, we say in Davening and Chadoni that Shabbos is Makor HaVracha. Shabbos is the source of all blessings. The Or HaChaim says, every Shabbos, Hashem puts into the world spiritual energy that will keep the universe going for 6 days. The world is recreated in 6-day increments. It is then fueled and recreated by the holiness that we bring into Shabbos. The Aruch Chaim therefore says, if Chas V'Shalom there would ever be a single Shabbos where there was not a single Jew keeping Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, I don't think we've ever had that situation, as bad as things are, the universe would stop to exist. Mose Shabbos, there would be nothing at all. Because the world only is given 6 days at a time. No Shabbos plus 6 days. And the Shefa Bracha is toloi on Am Yisrael keeping the Shabbos. Now obviously, the more Jews that keep Shabbos, the deeper and more meaningful each individual keeps Shabbos, the greater is the spiritual koach that comes into the universe. The greater that is. But even if only one Jew kept Shabbos, that would be enough to keep the universe going for another 6 days. Without that, there would be nothing at all. So the Aruch Chaim says, in a very literal sense, Makor HaBracha, Shabbos is the Makor, is the source, literally, of the physical energy that fuels, spiritual energy rather, that fuels the physical maintenance of this universe. It wouldn't last for more than 6 days. I want to share with you one more Ha'ara about this. That is, if you look at the tefillos of Shabbos, the amidos of Shabbos, you will see something that you don't see in any other chag. We know that all Shemona Esrei's for chagim, Shabbos and chagim, are 7 brachos. Instead of 18 or 19 brachos, it's 7. First 3, right? The standard first 3, last 3. And then there's a middle bracha that is called Kedushat Hayom. It deals with the holiness of the day. Right? That is the name of the middle bracha, and it ends with Kadesh HaShabbos. Now here's the thing. If you look at every Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, you will discover that the Nusach of Kedushas Hayom is always identical for Maariv, for Shacharit, and for Mincha. Musaf is a little different because of the Korbanos. Even on Rosh Hashanah, it's identical. It's longer, but it's identical. And Yom Kippur is identical. The only liturgy where the Nusach of the Kedushas Hayom varies from Maariv to Shacharis to Mincha is Shabbos. Now even Shabbos, the second paragraph, Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu V'Seinu V'Nu Chaseinu, is virtually the same, with one difference I'll get to later. But the paragraph before that will vary. Maariv, Friday night Maariv, Hatar Kiddushta. Shabbos morning, Yismach Moshe B'Matnas Kelka. Shabbos Mincha, Atoyachad Shimchayachad. This is really unique. There's mamish no other Amida that has a different opening for the Kedushas Hayom that varies from Maariv Shacharis Mincha. Let me give you two explanations that the Rishonim give for this. The first explanation is that of the Avudraham, Rabbi David Avudraham, who lived in the 14th century and wrote a very, very famous, well-regarded sefer on tefillah, the Avudraham he's called. And he says the following. He says that Shabbos is considered to be a day of wedding, a wedding between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's interesting that Am Yisrael has conflicting roles here, because some Midrashim talk about the idea that Shabbos is the Kala of Am Yisrael. Seen in this way, Am Yisrael is the Chasan, and Shabbos is the Kala, and that, of course, is the imagery of Lecha Dodi. Come, my beloved, let us go greet the bride, greet the Shabbos Kala. By the way, beloved, some translated friend, but Dodi is beloved. Some say you're actually talking to the Shechina. Come, my beloved. Come, God, with me to greet the Kala. It's not just your next-door neighbor.
Chadoni, come my beloved Hashem, let us reach out. According to that image, we are the Chasan, and Shabbos is the Kala. But there are other Midrashim that look at it this way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chasan, and we are the Kala. Meaning, is it that we are marrying Shabbos, or Hashem is marrying us? The Midrashim say both are true. So we are both a Chasan and a Kala at the same time. We are a Chasan of Shabbos and a Kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the makar of the Minas Al-Pi Mekubalin, to read Shir HaShirim Friday night, where Hashem is the male that is developing a love relationship with the princess. So the Avodram says, based on this idea, we can understand the three tefillos of Shabbos as describing progressive levels of intimacy and union. The first level of a marriage is called Kiddushin, or Erusin. Now, Erusin in modern Hebrew is endangered, but Erusin in the Gemara is the actual giving of the ring. That is when the Chasan marries the Kala with the words, Harei at Mekudeshet Li. So therefore, Friday night begins with the phrase, Atah Kiddushta, you have sanctified us. We start off with Erusin, Kiddushin. The next stage, which in our day and age happens the same night, but in the time of the Torah and the time of Chazal, for 12 months, the woman after Erusin lived with her father. It was only after the 12 months that the Chasan would bring her to his home, and today we don't wait that anymore. And bringing to the home is the main simcha of establishing a home together, a bias. And the simcha is not at Erusin, the simcha is at Nisumin. And therefore, as we go through Shabbos, we move from being a betrothed person to being feeling in the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why the morning prayer talks about Yismach Moshe, the joy of Moshe, because that is the simcha of Kenisa Bebeso. And the highest level is the actual consummation of intimacy between the Chasan and the Kala, which the Torah describes. Al Kain Yazov Ish Yazov Vesimo, a man leaves his father and mother, the Davak Biishto, he cleaves unto his wife, Vahayu Lebasar Echad, they become one. They become one in the sense of their union, they became one in the sense of their child. What this is saying is, by the time of Suda Shalishit, the intimacy with, we don't even understand this, this is obviously a holistic idea, but the level of intimacy with the divine is so intense that we have reached a spiritual consummation stage. And that is Atayachad, God is one, and we are one with God. So according to the Avodram, what is being described here are the progressive stages in the deepening of a relationship of love. Starting with betrothal, progressing to being brought into the home, culminating in consummation, whatever that means in the spiritual sense. Which means to say, the trajectory of Shabbos, for some of us, you know, again, it might be human nature, that when Shabbos begins, we're so enthusiastic, and then we peter out. But, especially in the summer, where Shabbos is very, very long, Shabbos afternoon. But, in the spiritual sense, it really moves the opposite way. It gets deeper, stronger. And then, of course, it's the end of Shabbos, and that's why we feel so weak and disoriented all of us. Again, it's somewhat of the feeling you might have after Yom Kippur. You know, you spend a whole day of holiness, and now, back to life. Now, even that verse, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, that you stay silent again. That's kind of a big reminder. Yeah, life is back to order. That's why you need the Besamim to revive you. So that's the Avodram. So the Avodram's idea of the three tefillos of Shabbos is an intensification of a relationship of love. That's shot number one. The Torah,
gives us pshat number two. And the Tor tells us that the reason why the tefillos have three tefillos is because there are three pivotal Shabbatot that we have. The first Shabbos is Shabbos Bereishis. Hashem made the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. So Shabbos commemorates creation of the world. Thus, the Torah says, the theme of Friday night is Vayuchulu HaShomayim, right? What is the part of the Torah we put in? Vayuchulu HaShomayim V'aretz V'chol Tzva'ah. So Friday night, creation. Now, the second pivotal event of Shabbos is Matan Torah. We got the Torah on Shabbos. Right? Shabbos Matan Torah. The theme of Shabbos morning is Moshe brought down the Luchos, Shnei Luchot HaBrit. So, Friday night, creation. Shabbos day, revelation. The third great Shabbos is the Shabbos we haven't had yet. The Shabbos that we yearn for, that we pray for, that every single Shabbos we have a little taste of, but we haven't yet had. That is the Geula, the redemption. That is Yom Shekulo Shabbos. It refers to Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach, without clearly differentiating these concepts, although they are different. And Shabbos is called Me'ein Olam Haba. In fact, even in the Chadodi, if you notice, the Chadodi is very interesting. Most of the Chadodi is not about Shabbos. Most of the Chadodi is praying to Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim, bring Mashiach. Why is that there? The answer is, you know, do you remember that old potato chip commercial? It says, bet you can't eat one. Which I love. Right. So once you eat once you taste something, you have a desire for more and more and more. Spiritually, it's the same thing. When the Meshayer of Shlomo Alkabatz tastes Shabbos, he then says, ay, give us the whole thing, Hashem. I don't want what's one potato chip. And therefore, he loses himself into Mashiach Yerushalayim Beis Hamikdash. Then, at the very end, he pulls himself back to earth and says, not there yet, but we still have Shabbos. But we have Shabbos. So it's kind of like a kite. He flies because the thought of Shabbos makes him think about everything that's going to come. Then he has to pull himself back to earth and say, I'm grateful for what I have now, Terry. Okay, that's the idea. So the Torah says, how do we describe Yemos HaMashiach? B'yom ahu yiyya Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Ata echad v'shimcha echad is mincha. So, according to the Torah, Friday night is the Shabbos of creation. Shabbos mincha is the Shabbos of, Shabbos shachris is the Shabbos of revelation. And Shabbos mincha is the Shabbos of redemption. Creation, revelation, redemption. Now I just want to add a little thought to the Torah. And that is, the Torah might be not only describing the national things that happen to Am Yisrael, but it could be that every single Shabbos we can go through three stages. We go through creation, we go through revelation, we go through redemption. How is that so? The first and most obvious thing that happens Friday night is a person feels reborn. You feel liberated. In fact, Chazal say, when it says, Sheshes yomim tasem alachtecha, 6 days you shall work, that is actually a commandment pertaining to Shabbos. What does that mean? That when Shabbos comes, you psychologically have to feel that all your work is finished. In other words, it's not a mitzvah for the 6 days. It's a mitzvah on Shabbos to be margish that all your malacha is asuya. Now obviously we all know, no one has ever entered a Shabbos with all of their work finished.
but psychologically, I'm reborn. I'm free. Herman Welk, famous novelist, still writing novels in his 90s. He published a novel last year. It happens to be a Shomer Shabbos, very, very fine person. He wrote an excellent book on Judaism, This Is My God. So in This Is My God, he recounts a story that in the 1950s, when one of his novels was being produced on Broadway, I think it was the Caine Mutiny, so they were working 18-hour days. And this play was going to open up Broadway. That's the height of Broadway, right? It was Friday afternoon, it was going to open mostly Saturday night. So he tells his collaborator, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll see you later. The collaborator thinks he's going to the bathroom or going to get a cup of coffee. He says, okay, but be back in 20 minutes. We don't have time. He says, you don't understand. I'm not going for 20 minutes. I'm going for 27 hours or 26 hours. I will be back 15 minutes before show opening tomorrow night. And the person, his collaborator, literally didn't know what to say. His eyes were wide open and he stared at him. And Herman Welk said, although he had been a Shomer Shabbos all of his life, that was the moment that concretized the idea that a Jew is free, a Jew is beholden to no human being, only to the Ribono Shel Olam. Just say no. Unless it is a matter of life and death, pikuach nefesh, there is nothing that has to be done. Shabbos is Shabbos. That is creation. That is freedom. That is why in V'yaschanan, the Torah says, we keep Shabbos as a commemoration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And everybody asks the question, right? In Yisrael, it says, we keep Shabbos to remember that Hashem made the world in 6 days. That's it. But in V'yaschanan, it says, we keep Shabbos to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And everybody asks the question, it's a famous question. How does Shabbos make me remember that Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim? What's the connection? The answer is very simple. One of the lessons of Shabbos is you are not a slave to a human being. God took you out of that slavery. You are free. But that's not enough. If all I take out of Shabbos is I'm free, the question is, free to do what? What's the purpose of my freedom? Just as Pesach, the holiday of freedom, has to be connected to Shavuos, the holiday of Torah, to the counting of the Omer. Because freedom without submission to God is aimlessness, it's anarchy, it's hefkeres. So too, the Shabbos that I'm recreated as a free person has to be linked to submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, you have to move from being reborn to then using your freedom to accept Hashem's will. And that's why you move from creation to revelation. That would explain, I had mentioned that the paragraph of Ritzei B'Bnu Chaseinu is the same for Ma'ariv Shachris Mincha, but there's one tiny little difference. Friday night, Shabbos is referred to in the feminine. The Yanuchu Va, they shall rest in her. Shabbos morning, it is referred to in the masculine, the Yanuchu Va. Mincha I'll get to in a moment. And once again, though, this actually fits the Torah very well. Because if Friday night commemorates that I'm reborn as a free person, we use the feminine imagery, because it is the mother that births the child. Shabbos morning, which involves my commitment to the learning of Torah and the doing of mitzvahs, in halacha at least, it is the father's primary responsibility to teach Torah to the child, and therefore Shabbos assumes the masculine role of the father. Friday night, Shabbos is the ima, and Shabbos morning, Shabbos becomes the abba, gets a mitzvah in a moment. So that's how I progress from creation to revelation. But then we come to redemption. Now, redemption is obviously from Golus. But there are many types of Golus. There is, of course, geographical Golus, not in Eretz. They don't have a base in Mikdash. But there is also a Golus of the Nefesh, as we described beforehand.
and a person can be estranged from God. A person can be estranged from other people, whether it's husband, wives, parents, children. Sinas chinam that exists in all segments of Am Yisrael. But the greatest and deepest estrangement is when a person is estranged from themselves. They say this in the name of Rav Nachum of Breslov, and some say Rav Yisrael Salanter, which is actually very, very interesting because they were very, very different in many ways. But when you have these cross-cultural quotation attributions, that's a sign that it must be a universal truth. Everybody holds of it. That is, the greatest distance in the world is between the head and the heart, in which my mind knows what I have to do, but my feelings aren't there, my passions aren't there. That is a rip within the soul, where I'm not living consistently with my beliefs and my ideals. And that is a golos of the nefesh, in which your emotions and your mind are working on two different planes. An inner redemption occurs when you achieve a harmony and an integration and a synthesis between these different aspects of your being. That doesn't mean that life becomes easy. It may be very, very challenging. But as the expression goes, you're in the zone, so to speak. You're simply in the flow of things where you're supposed to be. You know you're doing what's right. You know that you're moving in the right direction. Even though you know it's hard, but even the hardship becomes somewhat exhilarating and uplifting. Because you know that there's meaning and purpose and fulfillment in what you're doing. Because the mind and the heart are working together. That is what Ata Echad, God is one, but we also become one. Therefore, there is creation, I'm free. There is revelation, what do I do with my freedom? Then there's the redemption of integrating the emotion and the mind together. And that is why the Shabbos at Mincha is referred to as plural, the Anuchu Vav, because it is uniting and bringing together all of those different components of the human personality to make them into an Achdus, an indivisible whole. So these are two explanations about the Tfilos of Shabbos. And what it does remind us above all is that the spiritual life, all the time, and certainly on Shabbos, is a life of journey. It is a life of movement. Every Shabbos is a different experience. Now even the word for sin has been pointed out many times. The most common word for a sin is the word chet. But chet, if you really look at it literally, does not mean sin. Hate means missing a target, missing an opportunity. What a wonderful understanding of what the tragedy of a hate is. The tragedy of a hate is not, oh, you're bad, you're evil, you know, you're, what type of person are you? It's simply a reflection that Hashem gives us so many marvelous opportunities, and we sometimes miss them. But Baruch Hashem, even though it is true, as has been said, that a Shabbos gone can never be retrieved, because this Shabbos or yesterday is not the same as next Shabbos. But the Cholamas, if I'm not going to get the same Shabbos back, I will get Shabbos again and again and again and again. And I'm never going to be too far away from it. Just remember, as Chazal say, this is a Matana Achas, Yeshli Beveis Genazai. There's a beautiful, precious gift. My treasure store, the Shabbos Shema. And what do Chazal say? Definition of a shotef, definition of a mentally deranged person, is they're given something precious, and they don't know what to do. We don't want to be shotef. We don't want to have the fate of the misunderstanding. We should look at every Shabbos.
Mic is not working.
I'm sorry, did I shut it up? Okay. Well, yeah. If we want to not be shoten, if we don't want to have the chait of missed opportunities, may all of us be zochah to take every Shabbos as the treasure that it is. And in that way, as Chazal say, when the Jewish people keep two Shabbosos in in the correct way, they will be redeemed. The Sfas Emes says, why two Shabbos? What's wrong with one Shabbos? Because he says, from Shabbos you elevate your week. So you need an elevated week that then culminates in the Shabbos. Therefore you need that first Shabbos to elevate the week. May we be Zalcha to keep the level of two Shabbosos. May we be Zalcha to the Gul of Shalema. May we have more than that one potato chip that you cast in front. May we be Zalcha to the Gul of Shalema. May we be Zalcha.
Amen.